welcome to the Muslim Sheroes of Minnesota podcast, where we spotlight the Muslim women of the Minnesota community. My name is Noshina Hussein, and I'm the executive director of RISE, Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment. Our mission is to amplify the voice and power of Muslim women through storytelling, leadership development, and civic engagement. What is a Shiro? A Shiro is a female trailblazer who is creating change in her community. She takes risks, she challenges misconceptions, and addresses injustices. Shiros are on a mission to build a better world, and the sisterhood is here to support them and lift their voices. Meet our next Shiro, Annie Kaiser. Annie is a writer turned entrepreneur who launched her own skincare business, Silk Road Wellness. The culmination of years of research, experimentation, and creativity, each lotion bar is a representation of herself, right down to the font choice. Keep listening to Annie tell her story in her own words.
I moved to the United States when I was six, back in the day. There weren't many cultural organizations or even Islamic organizations, so it was just like, you know, regular full-on American community neighborhood. Yeah, it was just really hard in the beginning because, especially when I think with my parents being of a different background, they didn't know what to expect. And I think any time that a child, you know, is the first in the family to go experience all these things here, it just becomes like a whole learning dynamic for the whole entire family. And I think my family as a whole, like we learned so much. And to this day, there are so many things that my mom doesn't, or my, you know, family doesn't know because they didn't experience that as kids. I mean, as I grew older, I just, I went through, I guess, like a rebellious stage where I just didn't want anything to do with my culture and identity because it was just really, you know, it was one of those things where I couldn't relate to it as much. I could relate more to the culture here. And I mean, the whole time my family was like, you know, you are different. You need to accept it and just be okay with it. That'll help you. And it took me a while to kind of get that through my head. But I think once I figured out that, you know, that there are other people like myself, like other children or other individuals who grew up here, who were born here, I felt like I could relate to them better, you know, because they were experiencing the same things. And I think that was probably like a pivotal point where when I started hanging out, for lack of a better word, with people with my experience, then it was a little better. I think I was probably in my first year of university before I was comfortable enough to be myself, I guess, because I honestly, like, the entire time I felt like I was kind of pretending to be someone else, and I didn't really talk to people. You know, I would talk to my mom, communicate, obviously, but nothing like really that kind of, you know, like my deep thoughts and whatnot. So that's primarily the reason writing attracted me, because I was able to express myself. Like, my big dream has always been to be like an author, and well-known, like, New York Times kind of author, but I'm still getting there. And I wanted to write about just like kind of what our business is about right now. And I didn't have the idea of the business at that time. I just wanted to write about it and let people know that we have all these herbal, you know, like that cultural. And that kind of was during my university stage too, where I really came into understanding my culture and the background and just the wealth of information that we have as a society. I think it was right after I started, you know, growing my own family, like where I had my children. And I've always liked the whole health and wellness and that kind of, you know, path. And I'm a reader. So I read like, you know, different things and different researches and whatnot. And I kind of, you know, questioned what was going into our bodies, because then you read a lot about, like, you know, personal health issues that I faced. I had like a couple of, nothing drastic, but just like some things that I knew were kind of related to nutrition and just what I was using, you know, on my body and stuff. And then I started using a lot of herbal stuff, and I would tell people about it, that this is how some XYZ thing got fixed. And they're like, oh, well, you know, why can you make it for us? And that's kind of how it snowballed. But yeah, that was, I think, just for myself that I started making things, and it kind of grew from there. So this is about, my son is about 11 now. So I want to say 10 years ago, where I just started dabbling into making things for myself. And then the whole business idea came into being, I think, about 5 years ago, where it was just to the point where, you know, I realized that there's a need for this. You know, especially when you hear about Muslims who are looking for animal-free products, or just in general, anyone who's looking for animal-free products or just a humane way of making things. Yeah. You know, I think that's one of those things where the whole Islamic principle ties into, where if you create a moment of ease for any person, you know, that Allah is going to help you on the Day of Judgment, or help you in your moment, you know, when you need help. It's a cosmetic thing, I realize that. But I also think that when you go for Hajj, like, there were times, especially during the actual 5 days when you need to be kind of super vigilant of all these things, there were a couple of places where they only had scented soap. I was like, how am I going to wash my hands with, you know, with scented soap? So that's, and at that time, the original Hajj kit that I made for myself, I had an actual, like, solid bar of soap. And so that gave me the idea. I'm like, okay, you know what? Instead of carrying around, like, that big lumpy wet piece of soap was kind of like, ugh. So that kind of, you know, gave me an idea to make, like, the sheets. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was just, like, that firsthand experience that really kind of helped out, I think. For anyone, I think that, and especially as a Muslim woman with, you know, of a different culture, of a different background, that always becomes, like, anytime we try to break free from the norm, which is, you know, stay at home and raise kids, anything that we do comes under scrutiny. And that's a real, real issue. I mean, I know we all were like, oh, yay, you know, a lot of people don't think about it and stuff, but it's a big, big issue where, you know, you have to prove yourself. And as a woman, I mean, even, you know, when you're out in corporate America, you have to prove yourself just because you're a female. And it becomes even more difficult when you are of a different cultural background. When we initially started the whole business concept, someone said, oh yeah, you know, it's a good way to keep yourself busy. It's not like the greatest career thing, but it's a good way to stay busy. And I'm just like, no, it's more than that. It will be more than that. So I think I took that more of as a challenge rather than, you know, some, it did hurt me, brought me down. Like, you know, my self-esteem was shot, but, you know, I thought, hey, whatever, I don't care. So I think having that confidence, it took me a while to develop that too, where just, you know, people will still say things, but I've learned not to really, like, listen to it, absorb it, I guess. Because, you know, like, from the beginning, we're taught that there is no success if you don't have a 9-to-5, if you don't go to, I mean, I'm not saying, you should definitely go to school. But in general, like, you know, if you don't have a certain degree, if you don't have this, you're not, and especially within our, like, South Asian culture, it's, like, a huge thing. Like, you know, and to even go into writing as a communication and writing as a career choice when I was in college, that was, like, a big no-no, too, because it's considered, like, not a very lucrative career where you have to kind of prove yourself throughout your, you know, profession. But it was one of those things that just kind of naturally called out, I guess. That I can't even tell you the skills that I've had to, like, dig into my brain. Like, something that I may have done, like, when I was in high school or in university, and I was like, oh my gosh, I did this back in the day and I'm using that skill now. So I think as a business person, that's one of the main things that really comes into handy. Using, you have to, like, use all your skills and more, and learn so much along the way too. Because, I mean, we're relatively new. We don't have, like, an investor. We're just kind of doing things our own way. And yes, the product that we give to our customers has to be a very high quality, because that's just something that, you know, I personally feel portrays my business ideology, right? And to do all of that, I have to do the research, and I have to have, learn the skill, like, and to save money too. You know, that's a huge part of a business, finances. We don't have the sources right now to go out and hire a lawyer to do all of that for us. You know, inshallah, in the future we will. But up until then, you know, we're a startup and we're a small home business. And all of these things come into handy, having those skills. True. So right now I'm trying to get more into retail spaces. That would be amazing to have that storefront and just to represent, you know, us as a community, as a whole. I mean, we're not bad people. We're awesome, right? But I still always want to be affordable, because I don't want someone to miss out on that goodness because, you know, they don't have the money, you know, because they're living whatever their financials may be. I find that these kind of natural skincare lines, they're just insanely priced. I mean, and yes, all these quality ingredients are expensive, and my profit margin isn't that high because, again, like I said, everything that I make is going back into the business. And just to be just to stay as, you know, be known as a Muslim company and with an Islamic principle, to show others that it can be done. Because I think that Muslims really, I mean, this is sad, but they're portrayed in such a negative light. To somehow, like, basically use my business and use my family skills as a way to represent our faith as well. It's like, I have a lot of non-Muslim customers that are regulars, and that to me, because I think that's also another thing that I kind of envision for my future as well, is that, you know, I want to have it open to both. I don't want to isolate it to just Muslims or just non-Muslims. You know, there's it's not even about religion or that segregation. It's just that having that availability for everyone. And when I hear, because we know as a faith-based person, I mean, when I read the sunnahs and all that stuff, I know those ingredients are really helpful for us. So when it's helping other people, you know, that just makes it all the more sweeter, I think. I think as long as a person is staying within their faith and, like, you know, the restrictions that we have as female Muslim women, you know, we have, or and men too, we all have our certain faith-based restrictions. Keeping those in mind, if you're doing everything, and I think one of the main things is to keep in mind is if you're doing it for bettering the Muslim community, for bettering yourself as a human being, and to help others, I think that's definitely something to keep doing. Yeah, and, you know, this is such a cliche, but honestly, again, one thing I learned after starting the business is cliches are real and they're true, and people say them for a reason, you know, because they've experienced those things. And just, you know, don't listen to the negative people, and kind of surround yourself with people who are positive and who actually support your ideology. And that applies to, I think, all walks of life, not just business. I think every aspect of life that applies to.
Thank you to Blue Cross Blue Shield Minnesota for funding the Shiro's Project. To learn more about Shiro's and Reviving Sisterhood, visit us at www.revivingsisterhood.org. Find us on social media at Reviving Sisterhood on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you.